Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you all with us today as we get a chance to take a look at spiritual life, Christian life, church life, doing what we're called to do, doing it where we should be doing it. Our guest, yours and mine, to help us really get a handle on that is Pastor Jose Humphreys. He's a facilitator and pastor of Metro Hope Covenant Church, which is, and you're going to love this, a multi-ethnic and multicultural church in East Harlem. He's involved in shalom making in New York City through facilitating conversation, contemplation, and action across social, economic, cultural, and theological boundaries. And I know a lot of you can relate to that because we are all about celebrating diversity here. And Pastor Jose, it is good for you to be joining us to talk about this. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm so honored and privileged to be here with you.
Well, I sure appreciate you. Awesome book entitled Seeing Jesus in East Harlem. What happens when churches show up and stay put? Wow, that's going to be something to pursue. But before we go to the tremendous principles in the book, Pastor, you know I've got to ask you, share with us more of your background. Give us a feel for what's been happening in life and in the world that has helped to shape Jose Humphreys and how that led to you eventually becoming a pastor.
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a big question. How much time do we have? So I'll give you the skinny. I was born and raised in New York City in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, so that's the lower part of Manhattan. And I am the son of a Pentecostal teacher. His name is Jose Humphreys Sr. My mom, Arcadia Humphreys, also converted to Christianity when I was about 1 year old. So I basically grew up in the faith. And, you know, my mom was one of those praying women. She was a woman of God. And in the early years, she would constantly say, like, hey, you're a gift from God. And I'm like, yeah, you know, what son doesn't hear that, you know, from their mom, typical ministry, I should say. And, but I also remember mom, from the very, sensing a deep sense of calling over my life, specifically into the pastorate. Now, that was something that, you know, I had not been ready for years and had run away for a long time from. I was raised in, you know, the Assemblies of God Church, Spanish AOG, and so I've seen a lot of good things in there, just of course the emphasis on the movement of the Spirit, miracles, beautiful signs and wonders, but, you know, we get to a place, you know, when we get into our high school, early college years, where we take up a couple of, like, sociology courses, religious courses, that we begin to kind of not only doubt the faith, but maybe even go through moments of deconstruction where it no longer, the religion of your parents no longer serves to sustain you. It may have gotten you there, but it won't sustain you in the long term. So I had to go through a journey of calling and discernment, getting around some good mentors, some authentic, genuine pastor friends, who were able to kind of lead me into this path of, you know, ministry as a pastor. So that I realized that, you know, there was an ownership that I had to take for myself in terms of the faith, realizing that, oh, you know, there's more to this Jesus stuff than just what we call personal salvation or, you know, making it to heaven when, you know, life is over. But there's this whole life dimension that our faith is often missing. And in many ways, that's the kind of the point of the book. And also the point of, I would say, my return and reclamation of the faith, realizing that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. So not so that we just can go to heaven, but so that we could also bring heaven to earth through the Spirit's presence.
Through the Spirit's presence, which means that we need to be aware of the fact all the time that we can't do this in our own strength. Even once we finally acknowledge this is what I'm supposed to be doing, we still have to rely on the one who gave us that calling to help us fulfill the calling.
Absolutely. The God that calls also equips us. And part of my journey of formation was finding out that, yes, of course, or uncovering, yeah, my mom was right. And, you know, she's to this day, you know, she talks about it. Yeah, I knew it. You would become a pastor. And, you know, like the hounds of heaven caught up to me, so to speak, right? And, you know, once the Spirit calls, the Spirit compels and draws us in. And I responded to that call, you know, with my wife and about maybe 12 to 15 other folks back in 2007. And we asked a couple of questions. And some of those questions were based on what this church could look like re-envisioning the church as, you know, this multicultural, multi-ethnic community that could offer people a snapshot of heaven. And also thinking about the church in terms of a place where we could actually have conversations. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
You know, worship is important, giving glory to God and through our time, talents, and treasures, as they say, right, is very important. But there's also another facet where, you know, Jesus held many conversational spaces with his disciples, with a woman by the well, with, you know, Pharisees at a table or in the temple. And I found that was a huge piece that is often missing in our discipleship. And so we went on and we started this church based on, you know, conversation. And those conversations eventually led to other conversations, which led ultimately to the establishment of our church.
And what's the name of your church?
The name of our church is Metro Hope Covenant Church. Metro Hope Covenant Church, and it's located in East Harlem. That's in northern Manhattan.
And conversations led to the formation of Metro Hope. What are some of the kinds of conversations that you all had, and who was involved in those conversations?
Man, that's a great question. So early on, we were just this interesting ragtag group, right? Because when we put out a call for conversation, you know, we had, you know, just we were ethnically diverse. We had Black, Asian, Latino, you know, white folks there. And then we also recognized that not everybody came even from the same family of Christian faith. So you had some folks that may have had a Catholic background, a more mainline Presbyterian background, some, as I say, burnt out Pentecostals. You had some people that were hybrid, like a cross between a Baptist and a Pentecostal, and I found out they call themselves Bapticostals.
Okay.
And so we, you know, my wife and I wanted to create this space where we were, you know, we would cover different topics. And one topic was, you know, faith in the public square. You know, how do we talk about the bringing our faith into the dimensions of politics or social involvement in our communities, caring about education, you know, crime, and all those kinds of things. Because oftentimes the church, particularly the evangelical church, can become very insular. And so that how is it that we could have conversations about racism and, you know, the stronghold and the, you know, the demonic powers, if you will, of racism? And how is it that the church could speak prophetically and boldly about these things so that we could dismantle those things with the authority that God has given us? And so we just continued to have these pretty provocative conversations, not always agreeing on everything, but recognizing that this was also a safe space, a place where we would love each other even through the tension. And I realized that spaces like this are far and in between. Because at church, we often feel like we got to agree on every single thing. But there was enough agreement on what we thought were the essential things of Jesus to be able to come together and stick together.
I like that. And this involved, you mentioned various cultures, ethnicities. Did it also involve various age groups, both genders?
Yeah, so you mentioned age groups and genders. Yeah, so it was mostly, you know, it's probably 50-50 split between men and women, young men and women.
Interesting.
And In terms of the age group, it varied. It went anywhere from that millennial group that's also been in many ways feeling disenfranchised from the church, you know, yes. Early 20s to late 20s, all the way up to, a 67-year-old Irish man who is a Jesuit Catholic, right, who is also part of our group and is still actually with us. So we had also a range of generations. So it skewed more toward younger folks.
Gotcha. And so one of the things that was happening then, you all were looking at these deeper issues, and they are deeper issues. I mean, I applaud you all for agreeing, despite the fact that you were evangelical, agreeing early on that you wouldn't just take one or two issues of morality and the two that have been the mainstay of the evangelical society for so many decades, but you would, it sounds like you all were taking a look at whatever God would say is problematic and address as many of those as you could.
That's right. And, we realize that there are many divisions and breakdowns in our society, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both not only through class, but also through race, through how we even have church, right? You know, everything from church divisions around like worship approaches and styles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you and I have probably heard about the worship wars, right? You know, organ, no organ, guitar, no guitar. You know, so it can get as shallow as that to, how come in the spirit of Dr. King's question, how come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. in America is still the most segregated hour in America? You know, why aren't black and white and Latino and Asian coming together on Sunday morning? And that in many ways was the heart of our community, recognizing that just even our being together and our struggling together could in many ways be a sign of the kingdom.
A common struggle could be a sign of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from this break, could you share with us more about how that common struggle could possibly indicate that it was a sign of the kingdom, but also along with that, share with us how you all were able to assemble as a multi-ethnic group, and did that come early on or did that come later, the mixing of the ethnicities?
Sounds great.
Okay. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, yours and mine, is Pastor Jose Humphreys. His book again is entitled Seeing Jesus in East Harlem: What Happens When Churches Show Up and Stay Put. He and I'll be right back.